Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at the declaration of the Apostle John as listed in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So let's read those verses again together. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Now, on the last broadcast, we were exploring just why John went to such great lengths in these first four verses to describe his own personal contact with Jesus by discussing the heresy of Gnosticism that attacked the church late in the first century and which still plagues the church today. Now, we studied last time how that there are three main branches of Gnosticism. Number one is dualism, number two is syncretism, and number three is docetism. And on the last broadcast, we looked at syncretism, and today I want to see what the third branch of Gnosticism is, which is called docetism. Docetism is the branch of the Gnostic era that teaches that Jesus was not a real human being. The docetists taught that all spirit was good and all flesh was bad. So the docetists taught that Jesus only appeared to be human, but was in fact nothing more than a spirit being who seemed to have a human body. Once again, many who serve the Lord today may not look at this as such a big deal, but it really is, and here's why. If Jesus was not human, then he could not have been born of a virgin, and therefore he was not Emmanuel. If Jesus was not a real person, then he could not have been the seed of King David, which would mean that Jesus did not fulfill the hundreds of Old Testament prophecies, and that would mean that Jesus wasn't really the Messiah after all. If the docetists were right and Jesus was not a real person, then he could not have taken upon himself the sins of all mankind, and therefore we are yet in our sins. If Jesus was not a real person, then he could not have been tempted like we are in every point, yet without sin, and therefore Jesus would have been no more righteous than we are. And if Jesus was no more righteous than we are, then we have no way to become righteous in the eyes of God, and therefore we cannot pass through God's tribunal against our sins. The Apostle John saw the seriousness of this error, and he wrote his epistle to deal specifically with the error of the docetists who taught that Jesus was not human. Let's look at what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, John taught here that the people of God were not to be naive as it pertained to false prophets and those who would bring in heresy to the church. He said that we are not to believe every spirit. We are not to listen to every person who speaks in the name of the Lord. We are not to believe everyone who says that they have heard from God, or who says that they have a word from God. And this is very important to understand, that John was not telling us to become cynical or suspicious. No, John was simply telling us that we are to put what people say and what people write and what people teach to a spiritual test. And let's see what that test is from verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, the Docetists had come into the church and were teaching that Jesus was a spiritual concept and not a human being. They were teaching that Jesus didn't have a literal fleshly body and that he had not really come into the world as a human being. But the Apostle John was not content with simply letting them teach their false doctrine. John was not willing to allow these heretics to come into the church and deceive people. Unlike many in our day, John was very willing to break unity and fellowship with these people over this important issue of doctrine. John says that these people were heretics and were not teaching the truth. John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the only true Christians are those who believe and confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, and who believe and confess that Jesus was a real human being, who breathed air, and who hungered, and who had red blood in his veins, and who lived and died and rose again. And by saying this, John was drawing everybody's attention to how important it was that Jesus was both God and man. But John didn't stop there. He went on to say more about these Gnostic heretics. Let's read verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Now, John makes some very powerful statements here about the Gnostic heretics of his day. John says they're not of God, but that they are Antichrist. Now, according to the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology, anyone who fights against Jesus Christ, especially by teaching false things about Jesus personally or about the gospel, is an Antichrist. Now, if John was alive today, I have no doubt that many people from the modern church would go to John and try to get him to tone down his rhetoric. They would tell him that being a Gnostic wasn't really as bad as he said that it was, and they would remind John of how sincere the Gnostics were. They would list for John all the noble and good deeds that the Gnostics were doing in the community and how many widows and poor people the Gnostics had helped. The local ministerial association would gather around the Apostle John and pray that he would be more tolerant of those who disagree with him, that John could somehow be more loving and more Christian in his attacks against the Gnostics. They would try to get John to be less concerned about doctrine. After all, nobody wants or needs doctrine anymore. It's too stiff and dry and academic, and after all, Bible study is boring anyway. It would be so much better if John would do less teaching and less preaching and less praying and less doctrinal instruction and have something more exciting in the church, like more music. Maybe John could start a nice yoga class. I hear that kind of service is well attended over in Smyrna. Or perhaps we could form a gardening club or do pottery classes. The concerned pastors of Ephesus would try to get John to see that much learning had made him mad, and they needed to calm down and let his hair down and start being like the church over in Corinth, who had long ago abandoned the systematic study of the Word of God for more interesting and important things like puppet shows or Christian comedians to tell us a few jokes. Obviously, John's association with men like Paul and Peter and Jude had really warped his sense of humor, because John didn't think that what the Gnostics were teaching was funny. He didn't think it was cute or sweet or innocent, did he? Now, the Holy Spirit had moved upon John to say that anyone who was teaching false things about Jesus was not of God and was fighting against the cause of Jesus Christ and was, in fact, Antichrist. So we can see that the error of the Gnostics was a big deal to John, wasn't it? And we need to pray that it becomes a big deal to us in our day as well. And we can see that none of the men that God used to raise up the church thought that an attack against the gospel or against the person of Jesus Christ was just an innocent misunderstanding, did they? No, heresy and false teaching and misrepresenting who Christ is and what Christ did and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord has not spoken, and making up doctrine because it suits someone's fancy and twisting verses of Scripture was all viewed by the early church as a serious and a real threat. And every single man that wrote in the Bible said that it was wrong and that it mattered and that it was a big deal. And I will tell you, dear friends, that all of this is still a big deal in our day. If you were to analyze all of the attacks against Christianity that's going on right now, almost every one of the attacks against the Christian faith centers around just basically two errors: who Jesus is and how lost sinners are saved. These two are the areas areas that the devil attacked in the first century with the antinomians and the Judaizers and the Gnostics. And these are the two areas that the devil attacked in the 4th, 9th, and 16th century with the Modalists, the Arians, the Pelagians, and the Socinians. And these are the areas that the devil attacks today. These two areas, the person of Jesus Christ, just who Jesus is and how a lost man is saved, are the very two areas that John wanted to clarify. So he wrote this epistle to clear up any misconception that anyone could have about these two issues. You know, it really blows my mind to see how many people today are so laid back and unconcerned about all of this. For a man to cry out against the heresy and the apostasy of false doctrine in our day is like plowing through rocks in a field. You were labeled unloving, unchristian, mean-spirited, hard, cruel, fat and ugly. It's much easier to simply not bring this stuff up. But Paul, John, Peter, and Jude did what they did because of three irrefutable facts. These men of God were willing to buck the compromise and the consensus of their day, and they were willing to go against the tide of the attitude of that going along to get along is the right way to go. They were willing to day in and day out faithfully cry out against ungodly men creeping into the church, turning the grace of God into something evil, because these men had literally seen Jesus Christ. They had been changed by His power, and they loved the people of God enough to tell them the truth. Each one of these men had looked into the face of the Son of God. They had stared into His eyes. They had been personally commissioned to go and to tell. They had been handed the most precious commodity in all the universe, the gospel of God, and they were told to love it, to learn it, to proclaim it, to teach it, to defend it, to pass it on, and to live by what it says. So now, this gospel is in our hands. It lays at our feet. And the gospel will either be contended for, upheld, loved, and proclaimed and defended in our day, or else it will fall down and be trampled under the feet of evil men. Just like it did in Paul's day, heresy is knocking at the door of the church in our day. Just like they did in John's day, men are creeping into the church and teaching damnable lies about Jesus and about God and about salvation, and they are corrupting the truth in the eyes and the ears of the people of God. I tell you that we all need to return to biblical Christianity. We need to reject Gnosticism in all of its forms. We need to repent and return to our first love. We need to once again grab the horns of the altar and once again weep between the porch and the altar. We need to return to a time when the church has a high view of God and a high view of Scripture, and when the church was the light of the world and the city set on a hill, and when the church was the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we need to accept John's declaration of who Jesus is, and we need to embrace that declaration and love it and defend it from all detractors. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.